Notice here, he's writing to a church that's already saved. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. See now, where did they get saved in the book of Acts? Where did they get their souls purified in the book of Acts? They're already purified now. How did they get purified? When they obeyed the truth, that truth that he said we had to have through the Spirit unto unfringed love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That's the statement I made at the beginning. Now, he said they were born again by the word of God when they obeyed the truth, the word of God. Now, look down. He's still talking about the same subject. You go right on through chapter 2 and pick it up in verse 6. He's still talking about that rock and what they were built on in the word of God. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe. Now notice, him, he calls this stone a him. I thought the rock or stone that we got to build on was the Word. Now he's calling it a him. Now, everyone knows this is speaking of Jesus Christ, right? Well, how can that be? Because Jesus is the Word, remember? He's called the Word of God. He is the living Word. Many times he's referred to in the Bible as the Word. You can't separate a man from his Word. The rock is the Word. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the Word. You can use it interchangeably. All right, believeth on him shall not be confounded. Verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Now wait a minute. He said some people, instead of building on that word, was going to become a stone of stumbling unto them, and a rock of offense. Instead of building on the rock, Jesus Christ, on the Word of God, they're going to stumble over Jesus Christ. Now, when is people going to stumble over Jesus instead of build on Him? When is that rock going to become a rock of offense? They're going to get offended at Jesus Christ instead of building on Jesus Christ. What is he talking about? Listen, even to them which stumble at the Word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. When you stumble at the Word of God, you're stumbling over Jesus Christ. I've heard some folks say, well, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe you got to do all that Word says. That is an impossible statement, friend. If you don't believe the Word, you don't believe Jesus. If you get mad at what this Word tells us we got to do, we are mad at Jesus Christ. You can't separate the two. He plainly tells us right here, if we're offended at the Word, we're offended at the stone, Jesus Christ. If we read something in this Bible study that offends you because it's Scripture and it does not agree with you, should we try to change the Bible or should you change to the Bible? It's something to think about, isn't it? Why? The Word of God is true, and man is always wrong if he disagrees with this. This is what the Bible is telling us. Now, let's go now to confirm this point of view a little stronger. Ephesians, Apostle Paul, this was Peter. What does Paul say about this? Let's look in Ephesians. And we will, at the end of the second part of this Bible study, we will find how the Ephesian church got saved. This is the church at Ephesus. We will read in the book of Acts exactly how they got to be a church in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. It's the second part of the Bible study. All right? But right now, they're already a church. And chapter 2, verse 18 through 22. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners. See, they're not strangers anymore. They're citizens now. He said, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. What's he saying? You're not lost anymore. You're saved now. When did they get saved? We'll read about it in the book of Acts. Okay? And are built upon the foundation. Now, here's that foundation we got to be built on again. What is it? Of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Why the apostles and prophets? Well, I thought it was the Word. Who preached the Word? The apostles did. What did they preach? What the prophets said in the Old Testament. They wrote the New Testament. They didn't preach out of the New Testament. They wrote the New Testament. They preached out of the Old, explaining in the New what the Old really was saying. Okay? So, when we build this early church, the Ephesian church, was built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Why? He's the Word that they preached. In whom the building fitly framed together groweth the holy temple of the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. That's what made them a church. Okay? Now we're going to go back to John. Where we started, John 17 through 20. We was not ready at that particular time to read the rest of these scriptures. Now we're going to read some more. Where Jesus here is praying for his 12 apostles, okay? Remember the setting. He's praying for his 12 apostles that he has given this truth to. He says, sanctify them. This is in John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In other words, sanctify these apostles through your truth, because the word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Now, Jesus is saying he sent his apostles into the world. Now, I will ask you, so you remember this as we go through this Bible study, by the time we get in the second part, I'm going to ask you a question. Who do we know is sent of God? Now, what is the only thing that we know is truth? Is the Word, right? Now, I'm not even telling you to accept me as being sent of God. You say, but this preacher over here says he's sent of God. This preacher down here says he's sent of God. This preacher over here says he's sent of God. How do we know who's sent of God? Well, what's the only thing we know is truth? Is the Word, right? The Word says, Jesus said, I'm sending these apostles into the world. So who's the only people we know is sent of God? The apostles, right? You don't know if I'm sent of God. You don't know if this guy down here is sent of God. This man over here is sent of God. The only people we know is sent of God, according to this Bible, is the apostles. So the apostles are sent of God. You've got to remember that, because you're going to find a need to know that later on in the study. I'm going to ask you, who do we know is sent of God? And I want you to give me the answer. It's the apostles, right? We have that from the Word of God right here. Because you don't have a scripture in this Bible saying Brother Smith was sent of God. You're not going to find that anywhere in here. You'll have to decide if I'm sent of God from looking at the fruits of the men sent of God. That'll be your opinion to decide. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. See, he's going to sanctify these apostles through what? The truth. There's that the truth. They're going to have it. Now listen to this next scripture. It's powerful. Neither pray I for these alone. In words, I'm not just praying for these apostles alone. But for them also which shall believe on me through their Word. I'm praying for everybody, Jesus said, that's going to believe on me through their Word. Whatever the apostles are going to preach. So if you want Jesus to have already prayed for your salvation, if you will believe on him through what the apostles are going to preach, he's already prayed for you to be saved. Now isn't that beautiful? And it does that not go right along with everything else we've already read in the Word of God? So what even Jesus himself says, if you're saved, it's going to be through what these men are going to preach. Peter said the same thing. Paul indicated the same thing. Now let's see if it's going to continue to confirm this statement. He acts like that he gave the apostles all kind of authority and all kind of truth, and that's what's going to get us to heaven. Now let's turn to Galatians 1. Let's see if it's going to get any stronger, and it will. I can promise you it will. Galatians chapter 1. This is the letter of Paul to the Galatian church, to the church at Galatia. Chapter 1 and verse 6. Chapter 1 and verse 6. He said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. He said they're already trying to be removed to another gospel, he said, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert. Now, pervert does not mean do away with. Pervert means to change. Keep that in mind. Pervert means to change. Okay? Now, you can preach a gospel. He didn't say they'd quit preaching a gospel. They will preach a gospel. It just won't be the same gospel that's going to get you to heaven. They're going to change it just a little. But now notice, he said, but though we, who is we? It's the apostles. Anytime you see the words we, our, and us, when an apostle is doing the writing, it refers to the apostles. That's simply just rightly dividing the book. That's proven in 2 Peter 3 and 2 as he refers to us, the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter does. Okay, so the words us, we are in us. Now, that's most of the time. You can always tell. Sometimes the word we is referred to all the true believers, but the believers were always apostolic believers that came into the faith through the apostles' teaching, so how are you going to have a difference in them if they believe what the apostles preached? But you can always discern the difference by the context of the scripture. If it's dealing with the preaching of the word of God, it's referring to the apostles. He said, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Boy, that's strong. He said, if an angel from heaven comes down in this room and tells me to believe another gospel other than what the apostles preach, he said, let him be accursed. Because he said, there is no other gospel. And one church, I understand, got their beginning from an angel coming to somebody and telling them where some golden plates was buried and told them to go dig those up. But Paul said if it does not agree with what the apostles taught, that angel is accursed. So we're not to even believe an angel above the word of God. It may be a demonic spirit. Never take anything, your feelings, emotions, angels, or anything above the word of God. Notice, I guess he felt that sounded so good, he was going to say it again. Look what he says. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man, notice, any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Now that's strong. He said, if any man preaches any other gospel unto you than the one the apostles has preached, he is what? Accursed. He's not of God. Now that backs up what Jesus said to perfection. He's not going to build on the words that the apostles preached. And that's how you can tell a false prophet. Okay? He said, for do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul was not one of the original 12 apostles. He received the gospel later on in life. Remember, he was struck down on the road to Damascus to actually persecute the Christians. But he was carried away and taught by revelation of Jesus Christ. He was not taught word of mouth as Jesus walked the earth like the other apostles were, but he was taught by revelation. And he went up 3 years, look at around in 18, which is not in your scripture, but if you want to just in your own Bibles read on, it's not in the scriptures in the Bible lesson, but he said after 3 years went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. When he went up 3 years later to see Peter, guess what? He and Peter was preaching the very same thing. Now, isn't that beautiful? You know what that tells me? There's only one message. The 12 apostles got their message straight word of mouth from Jesus Christ. Paul gets his by revelation, and they preach exactly the same thing, not one word different. It's all the same. So that tells me there's only one message. All right? Now, let's go to, I believe it's 1 Peter 4. Back now to, we're doing a subject matter study. That's why we're skipping around. We're studying about the Word and the foundation and what we've got to do and how to tell a false prophet and different things. 1 Peter, once again, chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 17 and 18. Now, I'm going to show you here how inspired of God this Bible is. Peter is going to ask a question, and Paul is going to answer it in another letter. Now, isn't that inspired of God? Peter actually answers his own question, but he does not do it in detail like the Apostle Paul was. And when I was in the book of Matthew reading about the false prophets, remember Jesus said, "I never knew you." Do you remember that? I want you to keep that in mind, the fact that they did not know Jesus Christ. That means that there is a knowing experience. And if they did not know Him, we need to find out why they did not know Him, right? Now, they had cast out devils, they said. They claimed they had prophesied. They claimed to do all these things. Yet they didn't know Him. They didn't know Him. And so there is a knowing experience with Jesus Christ, evidently, that you must have. And whatever it takes to have that knowing experience, we've got to find out what it is. Okay, here in chapter 4 and verse 17, he says, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God." He said, the time is come now that judgment's going to begin at the house of God. What's he talking about? The apostles preached a remission of sin. Your sins are not going to be judged at the judgment, but they are removed at the house of God. The apostles preached a plan of salvation that had in it a remission of sin. And you could actually have your sins remitted at the house of God. And once your sins were remitted there, then judgment began there. Everything you've done in life up to that point was removed, and your judgment would begin there at the house of God. And notice, he said, and if it first began at us, who's us? The apostles. Why? They were the first people to ever preach that message. See how it all confirms itself out? There's no contradictions here. What shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Now here's the question. What shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? What you saying, Peter? He's saying, if the righteous barely make it, you do everything the apostles told you to do, you live a holy, godly life, you do everything, he said, you're barely going to make it. You're barely going to get in. But Brother Smith, that's straight and narrow. Hey, I didn't write the book. Jesus said it was going to be straight and narrow, didn't he? He said just a few was going to find it, didn't he? Peter's confirming that right here. He said, if you do everything properly, you're barely going to make it. He said, where's the sinner and the ungodly going to appear? He's actually answering his own question by saying, they hadn't got a chance in the world. Somebody had obeyed the gospel, and he's a sinner, he hadn't got a chance. But Paul is going to answer it more in detail. Okay, what's going to happen to them that had obeyed the gospel? Let's let Paul answer it in total detail in the book of Thessalonians. That would be 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. 2 Thessalonians. Back before Hebrews and Timothy a little bit. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7 through 10. Now this is Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica. He says this in chapter 1 and verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. Now there he's talking of the coming of the Lord, right? when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Notice, know not God, and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice how he ties not knowing God in with not obeying the gospel. You see, if you hadn't obeyed the gospel, you don't know God. That's the knowing experience that you've got to have. He's going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that don't know God and hadn't obeyed the gospel. Now, in verse 9, it goes on to say, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Now, that sounds like hell, don't it? Everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of His power. I believe he's speaking of hell there. I don't want to be in that. When he shall come to be admired, glorifying his saints, to be admired in all them that believe. Notice what you've got to believe, because our testimony, whose testimony? The apostles' testimony among you was believed in that day. He's letting you know that the apostles' gospel was what saved them. Their testimony is what was believed. And the Lord is going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that obey not the gospel, that don't know God and obey not the gospel. They're going to be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Folks say, well, I don't believe he'll send me to hell just because I don't obey the apostles' gospel. According to this, he will. It's not a popular opinion of men, but according to this Bible, which is true. Now, but my preacher said, it does not matter what a preacher said. It does not matter what I say. It matters what thus saith the Word of God. And we've got to learn to take the Word of God above men's opinions, or we'll never find truth. This is truth. Okay? Now, let's go to 2 John. We haven't heard from John yet. I wonder what he thinks about all this. Wonder, is he going to agree with them? Let's see what John says. Okay? In John, 2 John, verses 9 through 11. Now, there's no chapters here. It's just one chapter. So just verses 2 John 9 through 11. Okay, we're going to begin reading in verse 9. Notice Bible language once again. Whosoever. That's you, me, or whoever. He just puts the plan out there, and every who does it's going to make it, who don't's not. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Now, do you think doctrine's important? Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He said, if you don't have the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. Now, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? But that's what he said. Wonder what doctrine he's talking about. Well, we're going to find out here in a minute. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. That's speaking of the Spirit of God and the humanity of Jesus Christ, which is our mediator between God and man. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Notice how he says, if somebody brings a gospel other than the one the apostles bring, or the doctrine he's speaking of here, he said, don't invite him into your house. Don't bid him Godspeed. If you do, you're a partaker of his good deeds. No, evil deeds. The Bible speaks abruptly about all this. Evil deeds, okay? Now, what's he saying? If someone comes to your house, of course I realize you've got to listen to some doctrine until you at least find truth, or you'll never find truth. But once you know what truth is, you recognize truth and you recognize error, and someone comes to your house that's not teaching truth, you recognize it as an untruth, you're not supposed to just buddy up with them. Lord bless you. Hope you go and have many converts. You don't want them to have many converts, because everybody they convert is going to be lost. And God is going to judge you for that. Okay? Now, you say, well, what doctrine is John speaking of? Wouldn't you love to know what doctrine John was speaking of when he said, if you don't have the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God? Well, I feel like you and I could give a lot of opinions, but I feel like John ought to know, don't you? He's the one who wrote it. Don't you feel like John should have knew what he was talking about? Okay, so let's let John tell us. Go now to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6. We're going to find out what he's talking about. For he says here in verse 6, we, who is we? Who's doing the writing? The Apostle John, right? He is an apostle. Who is he? We is the apostles. We, which is the apostles, are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He said, he that knows God heareth us. Who's us? The apostles. He that is not of God heareth not us. He that's not of God will not hear the apostles. Hereby, or this is how, know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is how you tell, in other words, who's got the truth and who's got error. Now, isn't that very simple? If the apostles are of God, he that knows God hears them. He that's not of God will not hear them. He said, this is how you tell who's got truth and who's got error. If a person preaches exactly what the apostles preached in the book of Acts, that you got to do to be saved, you are in the truth. If they do not preach what the apostles preached in the book of Acts, that you got to do to be saved, they are not of God. They don't know God. They don't have God. That's how you tell, he said, who's got truth and who's got error. Now, isn't that the same thing Jesus said when he said he won't hear their words? If that false prophet will build them a word, this is how you're going to know, and this is his fruit. I'm going to take the words and give it to my apostles, and this is what I'm going to build my church on, whatever they say. Now, is not John confirming that? Did not Paul confirm that when he said, if you preach any other gospel what we preach, he's accursed? Did not Peter confirm that? Every one of them, the apostles confirmed it. Jesus confirmed it. So, therefore, if we're going to believe the Word of God, it's got to be true. The only way it could be an error is the Word of God would be wrong. If the Word of God's wrong, what are we going to use? We have nothing. Because men sure don't agree on hardly anything. The Word of God's the only thing that agrees on anything. So we've got to agree on everything that the Word of God teaches us. Okay, now we're going to confirm that. I feel like from right now, you ought to be convinced and you ought to know how to tell a false prophet. But just in case that you're not, I'm going to give you just a few more scriptures. Now, I'm not going to give you all. The Bible is full of scripture confirming what Jesus said. But we're going to go now and go, we're going to read the book of Jude, which is right close. While we're here close, we'll catch Jude, okay? That's right over next to Revelation, just probably a page or two over in your Bible. And verse 3, he said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. He talked about a common salvation. They didn't have 50 different salvations in the Word of God. They had one common salvation. They were all saved the same way. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. He said you should earnestly contend for the faith. What faith? The faith that was once delivered to the saints. Why? There are certain men crept in unawares who were for old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Even one evil men's coming in. So we've got to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. What have I actually been doing up here today? I haven't told you. You've got to go and do what Brother Smith says. You haven't got to do what any organization tells you. But what does the Bible tell us we've got to do? I have been contending for what? The faith that was once delivered to the saints. As a matter of fact, if you remember in Thessalonians, when Paul said the Lord was going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel, and then he went on to talk about those that believe their gospel. Hey, notice how he ties the judgments of the coming of the Lord in with the judgment of the gospel they preached. You know what that tells me? The gospel that the apostles preached is the same gospel that's got to be being believed at the coming of the Lord. There will not be another. Nowhere in here. Who does it say is going to change it? False prophets are going to change it. But he said it'll never change. And so to be saved, we've got to go right back and obey and contend for the faith that was what? Once delivered to the saints. Because evil men have come in, unawares. They're changing up the gospel, preaching other gospels. Preaching a gospel, all right, but not the one the apostles preached. And therefore, we know by that fruit that they are a false prophet. Okay, let's go now back to Matthew. And what we're going to do here is we're going to go back to the first of the New Testament, and we're just going to read several scriptures as we come through it here. Okay, the book of Matthew. Jesus said some interesting points here. One point he made when he said, let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. You remember that? If you be a leader of the blind, both going to fall in the ditch. Somebody said, what if my preacher doesn't preach to me the truth? Well, if he's a blind leader and you follow the blind, when he falls in the ditch, you're going to fall right in on top of him. That's why we should never put our faith in a man that's not preaching the Word of God, the exact truth that the apostles preached. Okay, in Matthew 23:15, Jesus made a pretty powerful statement here. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You compass sea and land to make one proselyte. Now, some Bibles have the word convert in the margin. You look up the word proselyte in Webster's dictionary, it's going to say convert. Many times it dealt with converts in this time to Judaism, but it is a convert. Okay? Now, he's saying, woe unto scribes, Pharisees, you're going to compass sea and land to make one convert. Oh, great. That means they're going to send missionaries into another land. They're going to cross over oceans and seas to convert people. Well, that's great, is it? Let's read on. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Well, that's not so great, is it? He said, once they convert these people, they make them twofold more the child of hell than themselves. Okay? So, how's that happen? Well, it's just like I've said many times. Let me say it this way. Once you get a person thinking to save when they're not saved, you can't get them unsaved to get them saved. In other words, you get a person believing they're saved, converted to a gospel message that's not the truth. Most of the times, they will close their heart to the truth. Because they were just a child of hell, just a lost sinner. But you let them join some church that's teaching false doctrine and tell them they're going to heaven, and they won't usually even open up their heart to listen to anything else. So what was just a child of hell is now a twofold child of hell. Because they not only are lost, but they won't listen either. And they are deceived into believing they're going to heaven, when in essence they're going to be one of the ones to say, but Lord, I believed, I've cast out devils, I've done these things, or at least I prophesied in your name. And he goes, I never even knew you. Never knew it. Why? They never had the gospel the apostles preached, that knowing experience that comes with that. So he's warning us there. Now this is Jesus himself that said that. So these things can happen to people. So we need to check our salvation out with the gospel the apostles preached and make sure that it's lining up. Now in Romans chapter 1, we'll go to the book of Romans, the epistle of Romans chapter 1, and read a few things while we're there. Paul talked about the gospel here and the power that he has in this chapter. Okay, chapter 1 verse 16. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is what? The power of God unto salvation. Alright, look at verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Okay, now he said the Godhead here is without excuse. Well, now what's he talking about? There's three different basic theories on the Godhead in the world today. One is that God is a Trinity, three persons in a Godhead that are co-equal, coexistent, co-eternal that agree together to make one God. That's one theory about the Godhead. Another theory is the oneness theory. It is called, that's where there is one God who is an omnipresent spirit that fills the universe, that's invisible, and yet part of this spirit dwelt inside of Jesus Christ. The fullness of the spirit dwelt in him, but not all of the quantity, because you can never get the quantity of God, which is omnipresent everywhere, inside of one little body, but you could get the fullness of the quality of God in that little body. In other words, and that's what they believe, there's one God, not three persons, but just one God who's a spirit that dwelt in the body. The body was the flesh that died on Calvary, but the Spirit of God raised up the flesh and set it up as God, and God will rule. It's the headquarters of God. That's what Godhead means, God headquarters. He will rule out of that body. Okay? Now that's the oneness theory. Then you got the what's known as the Jehovah Witness theory, which is that Jehovah's the mighty God and Jesus is just a little God, little G-O-D. In other words, he's like an angel, like the devil was, just a created being. And so forth. So now we need to know which of these is correct, because the Bible says it's without excuse, doesn't it? Okay, so we've got to study that and need to know. And by the way, there is a Godhead study that we have that follows these lessons if you would like to have them. So therefore, you may be interested in taking a Godhead study following this to make sure that we can understand what the Godhead truly is from the Word of God. Now, Romans 6, while we're this close, in verse 17 and 18, Romans chapter 6, 17 and 18, "But God be thanked, you were the servants of sin." They're not sinners anymore. They were the servants of sin. "But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." But the Roman church obeyed that doctrine delivered them. "Being then made free from sin." When? When they obeyed the doctrine delivered them. Who delivered it? The apostles did. "You became the servants of righteousness." Okay, so they were saved by the apostles' doctrine. Now, we need to turn over and let's go to Romans chapter 16, 17 and 18. You'll get them confused if you're not careful. We read Romans 6, 17 and 18. Now we're going to Romans 16, 17 and 18. All right? This is the final chapter of this book. Now, remember, he warned that they were saved by the apostles' teaching, correct? Now, we're going to read Romans 16, 17, 18, and see what he's going to warn about that. He says in verse 17, "Now I beseech you, brethren." Now notice they're brethren. When did they get to be brethren? When they obeyed that doctrine the apostles give to them. "Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary," which means different, "to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but by good words," "but their own belly." It says they don't serve Jesus Christ, almost left that out, "but their own belly," it was their own desires. They're serving what they want out of a person. "And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." What's he talking about? He said, "Mark them that cause divisions and contrary to what I've taught you. The doctrine we taught you saved you, but," he said, "there's people coming along that's going to teach different. They're going to use good words and fair speeches." Oh, you don't have to do what the apostles taught. That was just for their day. We don't have to do that anymore now. That's not for us anymore. Well, that's good words and fair speeches. Times have changed. God don't expect that out of us anymore. We've found a new gospel now. Well, you don't believe you have to have all that to be saved, do you? That's all that's not necessary anymore. Well, that sounds real good. But the Bible says, when people talk like that, when I hear a man come and say, "You don't have to have what the apostles preach," you know what I do? I put a big check mark right in his forehead, right in my mind. False prophet. That's what I think about it. I realize he does not know what this Bible said. If he knew what the Bible said, he could not make such a foolish statement with all the scriptures in the Bible against him. Okay? So now let's go to to 2 Corinthians, see what Paul said again here now in this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. This is the second letter of the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. He says in verse 1, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully." He said they're not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Could, but they're not. "But by manifestation of the truth," there's that "the truth," "commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Notice verse 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Now that's a powerful statement. He said if our gospel, the apostles' gospel, is hid to you, you're lost. Now that's, it can't get any plainer than that, can it? That's just as plain as you can say it. It's either accept it or reject the word of God. I didn't say that. The word of God said it. Well, that makes me mad. Now, don't get mad at the word, because if you get offended at the word, you're offended at Jesus. You see, it does me no good to fight this word. I'm never going to change it. The only way I can be saved is obey this word. I need to learn to... See, that's why I'm glad I have changed. I used to be raised in one denomination, in one faith, but when I saw more truth, instead of fighting that truth, it's wisdom to walk in that truth. The Bible says, walk in the light as you receive the light. Okay? And he goes, "In whom the God," notice, little G-O-D, "the God of this world," most theologians feel that's speaking of the devil. I won't argue with you on that, but either way, they're blinded, whoever does it. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." See, the devil or something is going to blind the people's minds, lest that gospel get to them. Because if the gospel the apostles preach get to you, you're going to be saved if you obey it. And the devil don't want you to get that light. He'll do anything he can to keep you from getting that light. He'll send false prophets along all day, or anybody else, or any reason, or anything, to keep you from getting the light of Jesus Christ. Because if that light gets to you, you're going to be saved. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." All right, now let's move right on to 2 Corinthians. He's going to say almost what Jesus said here in Matthew when he said they're going to come in sheep's clothing. Look at chapter 11, verses 10 through 15. "As the truth of Christ is in me," now he said the truth was in him, Paul did, "no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth, but what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that for in the glory that they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers." Notice, there's a lot of folks go around claiming to be like they are, he said. But look, he said, "they're false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." God didn't make apostles out of them. They made apostles out of themselves. God didn't have nothing to do with them. "No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness." They're not, but they're transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. What are you saying, Paul? Same thing Jesus was saying. The devil's ministers are not going to come up and say, "Hey, I'm a false prophet, and I'm here to damn you." They're not going to do that. They're going to say, "Hey, I'm a minister of Jesus Christ, and I'm here to lead you the way of salvation. Jesus died for you." But what they finally tell you you need to do to be saved will not be, now you hear it close, it will not be what the apostles preached you've got to do to be saved in the book of Acts. They will change it somewhere, either in the whatever you have to do, the baptism or the obedience, whatever it is, they're going to change something somewhere. They won't give the word-for-word experience in the book of Acts. Okay? Now, let's go quickly to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll always be going toward Revelation. Now, we're just going through the Bible, reading a few of these. Now, I told you we'd see how this church gets saved the next session, the second half of the Bible study in the book of Acts. Okay, 14, Ephesians chapter 4, 14 and 15. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. He's warned, don't be carried about with every wind of doctrine that comes along. We got to speak the truth in love. Now, what doctrine do you know He wants us to believe now? The apostles' doctrine, right? Because the Ephesian church, remember, was built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Okay, and in Colossians, over to the book of Colossians, which is right after Philippians here, Colossians chapter 1, verse 22 through 23. And the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. Now, how is He going to present you there? He's got a big if there on being presented. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Wonder what faith He's talking about. Now, we can make it. He said we presented holy and unblameable in His sight if we continued in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Don't get away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Paul was made a minister of that gospel. What's he saying? If you won't get away from the gospel the Apostle Paul preached. Now, who was he? He was an apostle, right? That's as plain as it can be. Chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 8 and 9. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men. Philosophy, what are you talking about? Oh, it don't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere. That's good philosophy. But I don't believe the Word of God's going to back that up anymore after all we saw tonight, do you? You don't have to have what the apostles preach. That's not for us today. More good philosophy. Oh, as long as you go to church and you do what's right, you're going to be all right. That's good philosophy, isn't it? He said, beware of philosophy. Men's ideals. Men's things. All right? Tradition of men. Well, I'm going to be this because my mama was this and my daddy was this. I've been raised this and this is what I've been taught all my life. And therefore, I'm going to die this and nobody's going to change me. Bless God, that's the way it's going to be. He said, beware of tradition of men. You might ought to pick this Bible up and check it out. Because when I did one day, I found some of the things I was believing was not what the apostles believed. And I decided I'd rather go to heaven than be in what I was raised in. So I made a change. And you may have to, too, if you find out you're not believing exactly what the apostles preached. Because I promise you, you face Jesus Christ having believed exactly word for word what the apostles preached. He cannot make you be lost over doctrine. He cannot be, because He's going to have to stand behind His word. All right, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Why? For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All right, it goes on to say you complete in Him. We'll cover more of that particular scripture in the second half. We're down now to our final scripture, which is 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, but it's going to be a powerful scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to start reading in verse 9. But keep in mind, this is the part of Thessalonians that in the first chapter, he talked about where the Lord's going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. Then he goes on to say, because they hadn't obeyed, believed what we preached in that day. He goes right on through and talks about the coming of the Antichrist, who's going to sit in the temple, pulls all that's called God. And then he comes down to verse 9, and he said, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now that's why you can't afford just to believe signs. You've got to have doctrinal truth behind what you believe. Signs will follow the believers, but you better not just go following after signs. When people tell me they did something and saw some miraculous gift or some miraculous thing, I will not accept it unless they preach the true doctrines of Jesus Christ. It's because the Bible said we've got to have the true doctrines of God in our heart. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why are they going to perish? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They didn't receive a love of the truth when they heard it. And verse 11 says, and for this cause God, notice, not little G-O-D, capital G-O-D, the God of heaven, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God is going to send these folks a lie into their mind. Now, God created this mind, didn't He? He knows how it functions. It's not hard for God to send you a delusion. You say, Bud Smith, that's not fair. Yes, it is. Because God feels like there's going to be so many people lost, having never heard this truth, having been deceived by a false prophet, that if He goes to all the trouble to get a man of God to you, to preach you this truth, and cause you to understand this beautiful truth, that if you don't appreciate it enough to love that truth and take a stand for that truth, that He said, okay, I'll take care of this one myself. I'll send a delusion into their mind. They will believe a lie. They will be damned because they did not love this truth that I revealed to them. Now, that's strong, isn't it? That's powerful. But is God just in doing that? He's more just in seeing a delusion into people's mind, I would feel, than allowing someone to be lost that never had heard. But yet, if ignorance would save people, then we could all just sit down and shut up, and the whole world would be saved. But as we'll find out in the rest of the lesson, the next session, tomorrow, we'll discover how all this happened. Okay? And we'll see that you've got to hear the gospel preached by a man sent of God in order to be saved. So, actually, he's saying, basically, there's three ways to be lost, basically now. You can make many more out of this, and just one way to be saved. Well, Brother Smith, that makes it awful straight and narrow. That's what he said, didn't he? One way to be lost is that you never hear the apostles' gospel. If it's hid to you, the Bible said you're lost. I didn't say it now. The Bible said it. You're lost. Another thing, you could be deceived by a false prophet into believing something other than what the apostles preached. You're still lost. That's who came up to Jesus in Matthew. Okay? They were deceived. Another one is, you hear this beautiful truth by a man sent of God, but you don't love this truth. You don't take it to heart. You don't defend the truth. You don't obey the truth. Then God says, okay, if that's the way you feel about it, I'll send a delusion into your mind, cause you to be lost and be damned. All right? There's only one way to be saved. What is it? You've got to hear this truth sometime in your life. You've got to love this truth. You've got to obey this truth. And after you get it, you've got to live a holy, godly life until the coming of the Lord. And then you're going to scarcely be saved. Is that not Bible? Is that not what the Word of God has said? But Brother Smith, what about all these preachers preaching this broad way? Well, did you not read the words of Jesus? Beware of false prophets, He said after He made the statement. They go on to say in verses 13 and 14, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. See, they're brethren because they got saved. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. How? Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The Spirit and the truth got them saved. There's your Spirit and truth that we started out with, wasn't it, in the book of John. That's how this church got saved. They got the Spirit and they got the truth. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Called you by who? Our gospel. Who's our? The apostles' gospel. To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. I thought he warned against tradition of men. Now he's saying hold tradition. What's the difference in the tradition? The other tradition that he said to reject was the tradition of men. This tradition he said to hold is the traditions the apostles taught. He said, whether by word, whether it was word of mouth or by our epistle, which is a letter we wrote to you. He said, you do what we've told you and you'll make it. All right? So, how are we going to be saved? We got to obey what the apostles preach because they have the truth. How are we going to know a false prophet? He will not obey what the apostles preached in the book of Acts. Now, I know you can't hardly wait till our next session, because our next session is called the Gospel, and we are going to cover what the apostles preached that you got to do to be saved. We're going to go through the book of Acts and some other books, and we're going to read word for word what the apostles told us. It would do us no good, would it, to realize that we need to have the gospel, the apostles preached in the book of Acts, and then not cover what the apostles preached in the book of Acts that we had to do to be saved. So tomorrow night, we're going to cover the gospel, and hope you can be here with us, and I appreciate your attendance tonight. Thank you.